Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
All right, another frustrating loss for Miami last night, losing to the Giants in game one of this three-game set. Steven Strom, Marlins Rewind. As always, for the recap, here's your radio voice of the Miami Marlins, Kyle Seeloff.
Another very unfortunate ending for the Marlins this season. Tonight marked the Marlins' sixth blown lead loss this year. And they fall to the San Francisco Giants in game one by a final score of 4-3. This is the 10th inning show. It's brought to you by Warner Hoffman, Greg and Garcia, your trusted workers' compensation and personal injury lawyers. Gabby Sanchez back with me now to break down this 4-3 Giants victory. We'll start with the good Gabby, and we will start with Edward Cabrera, who was brilliant in his 2024 debut. Six strong innings, one run, five hits, one walk, and 10 punchouts.
Well, you say good. I say great, because, I mean, he was just absolutely filthy today. And the biggest thing was, of course, throwing that ball across the plate. A lot of strikes, a lot of first-pitch strikes, which was really nice to see. But when you go out there and you pitch the way that he did, go six innings, strike out 10, and it was very easy for him. He had one inning where he could have exploded. He could have given up a whole bunch. He stayed poised on the mound, which is growth in him, which we haven't seen in years past. Usually in those kind of situations, he starts to get erratic. We didn't see that today, so that was really, really nice to see. This was an unbelievable first start for Cabrera.
Offensively, Avi Garcia went deep leading off the second. Then the Marlins got the two-out, two-run double from Brian De La Cruz. Unfortunately, that is all. Again, that's been a theme this season. A lot of early run support, and then they just come up empty the rest of the way.
And that's kind of what we've seen. And when you're a team and you've been struggling, those add-on runs are huge. When you get guys in scoring position, you have to be able to get them in. And we've seen it plenty where the Marlins go out there and they score four runs, five runs in one inning, and that is it. That's all you're getting. You're going to get four. You're going to get five. It's going to be in one inning, and then that's it. We're not going to tack on any runs. That's what this team, in my opinion, needs to do a better job of,
right,
is tacking on those runs. And we used to talk about, you know, with the pitcher on the ropes, you know, put that foot right on that neck and just keep pushing and pushing down. You know, get him out of that ball game. Don't let him even breathe for 1 second. Continue adding the pressure. That's what I want to see this team continue to do. When you get into certain situations, I want to see Jazz run a little bit more.
Right.
You know, he had a couple chances where he could have stolen the bases early. One time he finally did, but it was already with two outs. It's a little bit different with nobody out or one out and a guy at second base than it is with two outs and the guy getting to second base. It's that one extra batter, maybe that one slider that they don't want to bury down into the dirt, because then you're going to move over. So there's certain little things where you can see the growth of the team. You can see the play getting a lot better. It's just having those other little moments where you're adding on that one extra run in that fourth or fifth inning because of a sac fly or moving the guy over. Those things, that's what's going to take this team to that next step.
Now, Skip was ejected for the first time this season. It was in the eighth inning that there was some controversy.
Yep.
But I will say, the bottom line is that the Marlins bullpen has struggled mightily.
Yep.
Okay, they allowed three runs in the top of the seventh inning. Cabrera allowed the one run in the fourth. So controversy aside, whether it was right or wrong, whoever was right or wrong, whether a Skipper is right or wrong, it doesn't matter. The bullpen has got to start to hold up their end of the bargain. And look, Gabby, I understand that Skip has said all the right things. He has said, I have to do a better job of finding the right roles in the right spots. It's no longer on Skip. He's putting these guys in the right spots, and they're just not holding up their end of the bargain right now.
It's not him. It's when you're going out there and it's a consistent thing. He's putting guys in to be successful in their certain spots, and he's doing it.
Right.
It's not his fault, and he's going to take all the blame for it because he wants to take all the blame for it. That's what type of a manager he is. He's not a manager that just says, oh, no, these guys stink, and it's their fault. It's not my fault. I'm doing everything perfect. No. Hey, we lost, it's on me. We win, it's on you. That's how he manages games. But really, when you're a player, the game's over, you look at yourself in that mirror and you say, whose fault really was it?
Yep.
And you know what? If you're a man enough to admit it was me, then it's something that you work forward towards. And you try to get yourself better and put yourself in the better mindset to kind of get those three outs.
And look, controversy aside as well, to me, it was almost the tipping point, and Skip had to release emotion, and this cannot continue to happen, and we've got to find a way to win games instead of finding ways to lose them. So Marlins lose 4-3 tonight. We'll see if they can bounce back tomorrow night. Jordan Hicks will take on Ryan Weathers, and I'll see you then, Gabby.
All right. See you tomorrow.
All right. That's Gabby Sanchez. I'm Kyle Seeloff. Let's take a listen to the highlights from this ball game. Scoreless going to the bottom of the second. Tonight, Kyle Harrison was going opposite of Eddie Cabrera, who was making his 2024 debut, and it was Avi Garcia that would give the Marlins an early lead. The first offering to Garcia, sent high and deep left field. This thing is crushed, and it is gone. Avi Garcia, his second home run of the season. It's 1-0 Miami here in the second. So Garcia gave the Marlins a 1-0 lead. With two outs in the second, we had consecutive singles from Otto Lopez making his Marlins debut and Luis Arraez, and that set the table for Brian De La Cruz. Otto Lopez is at second, Arraez is at first. Here's a swing and a line drive in the air, left field, off the bat of Brian De La Cruz. On comes Conforto, he dives, he can't get it, and it gets by him. Lopez scores, Arraez rounds third. Here comes a throw, not in time. De La Cruz takes off for third. He'll arrive in safely there. It's 3-0 Miami. And unfortunately, that is all the Marlins would get in this ball game tonight. It felt for a while like that would be good enough for a victory. Edward Cabrera was rolling. He had faced the minimum through the first three innings. He would get hurt by a leadoff walk in the fourth with a couple of men on base and one away in the inning of Michael Conforto at the plate. Now the 1-1. And that is hit on a line out towards second base, past the diving Luis Arraez. Lee will score, throw to second, not in time. So Lair had to hold up for a second. It's an RBI single for Michael Conforto. This is a 3-1 game in favor of the Marlins here in the fourth. Eddie Cabrera went six innings tonight in his season debut, allowed a run, five hits, one walk, 10 strikeouts. Kyle Harrison went six innings, allowed three runs, eight hits, one walk, and two strikeouts for the San Francisco Giants. So this was a 3-1 game in favor of the Marlins, going all the way into the top of the seventh inning tonight, and George Soriano came in to pitch for the Miami Marlins. The first man he faced was Matt Chapman. Chapman lined out to the center fielder, Jazz Chisholm Jr., who made a sensational diving catch for the first out of the inning. But then there was a double and a walk, and with two aboard and one out, the catcher, Patrick Bailey, the switch hitter, was at the dish. Double play depth up the middle, line drive in the air, deep left field. De La Cruz backing up, makes the catch. Tagging from third and scoring is Estrada. Throw comes in towards second. It's a sacrifice fly for Patrick Bailey. Now it's a Miami 3 and San Francisco 2 in the seventh. So at that juncture, there was one on and two out. The next batter was Nick Ahmed. He walked. That forced Skip Schumacher's hand. He brought Andrew Nardi in to face Jung-Hoo Lee. And Lee tied this puppy up. 3. The 2-2 pitch is lined through the left side to base hit. That's going to tie the game. Scoring from second base is Yastrzemski. Throw comes in towards second base. We are tied at 3 on the 2-out RBI single from Jung-Hoo Lee. And then after Lee, it was Wilmer Flores facing Nardi, a lefty-righty matchup that would put the Giants ahead for good. 0-2. That is swung on in line into center field. That's a base hit, and the Giants are going to take the lead. He jammed him up and in with a fastball. Flores kept his hands in on that heater. And the Giants have their first lead of the night. They have scored 4 unanswered. And the Marlins would come up empty in the seventh. Let's move along to the bottom of the eighth inning, because that's when controversy struck, per se. Marlins were trailing 4-3. Ryan Walker was pitching for the Giants. He allowed a one-out single to Jazz Chisholm Jr. Then he struck out Avi Garcia looking. There were two outs. And at that point, Skip Schumacher sent Nick Gordon to the plate. So the left-handed hitter and the pinch hitter was announced into the game. Bob Melvin came out of the dugout. He appeared to basically say, I want my righty Doval to come in. The umpires even signaled for a right-handed pitcher to come into the game. However, it was Taylor Rogers, the lefty, that came in. Rodgers is the one that came out of the bullpen. And to my understanding, unless I'm totally wrong on this, he had essentially announced himself into the game. Rodgers should not be able, even with miscommunication, to walk right back out into the bullpen and then allow for Doval to come in. And I think it was a ginormous, egregious error by the umpiring crew. We will get further clarification on that coming up shortly. Now, so the umpires let Doval come into the game. And then as he was facing Nick Gordon, before the first pitch was thrown, the clock apparently had hit zero. That ticked off Skip Schumacher even further. He came out and continued to give Laz Diaz an earful, who finally just threw him out of the game. But Laz Diaz, by the way, on the original miscommunication with the bullpen situation for the Giants, he continued to let Skip just rail into him over and over and over again, which led me to at least believe at the time the umpiring crew know that they had got this thing wrong. So we'll see. I think Skip is rather animated downstairs tonight. I look forward to hearing from him shortly. Bottom line, San Francisco led 4-3. They got nothing in the top of the ninth inning, and Doval allowed a two-out single to Luis Arraez in the bottom of the ninth inning. And then Brian De La Cruz struck out, and the ball game was over. So for San Francisco tonight, 4 runs, 8 hits, 2 errors, 7 men left on base. And for the Marlins, 3 runs, 10 hits, no errors, 8 men left on base. Harrison, the winning pitcher, he's 2-1. Soriano, the loser, he's 0-1. Doval, his second save of the season for the Giants. Total time of game, 2 hours and 36 minutes. The Giants improved to 7-10. The Marlins fall to 3-14. On the mound for the Marlins tonight, Eddie Cabrera struck out 10. Brian Hoeing punched out 2. And that means that $300 will be donated to AutoNation's Drive Pink Initiative to fight against cancer. For every strikeout this season, $25 will be donated to the Drive Pink Initiative.
Okay, Kyle, thank you. Skip Schumacher was ejected in this game, and there was a ton of drama that happened. The Giants tried to make a pitching change for Rodgers. They wanted to put in Duvall. A whole bunch of stuff started getting screwed up. Skip Schumacher wanted the count to Nick Gordon to be 1-0 and said it was no balls, no strikes. Skip ends up getting kicked out. So let's head down and listen to a very emotional Skip Schumacher after the loss.
Can you give us a little clarification on what happened there in the eighth with the bullpen?
I'd love to get clarification. He called for a righty. A lefty came out. Rodgers came out. Obviously, they wanted Duvall out there. And Duvall wasn't coming out. There was extra time, obviously, because once you signal, you're supposed to start the clock and come out. Rodgers comes out, the clock starts. He called the wrong guy, or the wrong guy came out. I don't know exactly what happened, but that clock starts. It's not my fault that the wrong pitcher came out. Duvall should be coming out right behind him if they called the wrong pitcher. He got an extra couple minutes to get loose, which that is, we have been called for ball one many times when our pitchers are been getting extra pitches in the bullpen. So we didn't even get a ball called on Gordon. It should have been ball one, and he should not have gotten extra pitches. So I'm still trying to figure out what happened. Guys make mistakes and calling different arms. I got no problem with the mistake or whatever it was, a miscommunication. That I don't care about that. I care about what happened after that. At the very minimum, it should have been 1-0. And still not sure why they think they were right. It's okay if you're wrong. Just admit it's fine. But I just don't understand why what just happened. I should not have been tossed for that. It's ridiculous.
And the umpires didn't give you any clarification. Like, what was their justification of that?
Looking forward to it.
Is that the first time you've seen something like that?
Never seen it before. Again, there's mix-up, miscommunication at times about bullpen, you know, who's coming in. I was in the World Series in Texas when La Russa called for a different guy. Like, that happens, and I'm okay with like the some communication part. When Brian Price walks out to the mound, obviously there was miscommunication with who was coming in. That's okay. That happens. We're allowed to make mistakes as coaches and managers or whatever. But the fact that they got extra time, I have an issue with the umpires.
For the game of Cabrera, just one of the best outings you've seen from him?
Yeah, Cabby was awesome. 6 innings, 10 punchies, 1 walk. I think the only run scored was the walk, right? Of course that happens. But, we get that out of Cabby. We're gonna win a lot more games. Tough that we don't get the win after such a great outing by Cabby. He was just against a good lineup, righties, lefties, up and down the lineup. He was as good as I've ever seen him, honestly. And you didn't know what you're going to get because his first time out of a rehab assignment, and he was excellent.
In the context of where the pitching staff is with injuries, people sick, whatnot, just to have him hopefully be some group in this moving forward,
what would that be? Yeah, we need guys to step up and provide some innings. And he provided 6 innings. If we get our starters to go 6 innings and do that, you know, we'll be okay. We have to obviously get the roles figured out in the bullpen. I'm not doing a good job of putting the guys in the right spot, obviously, because we're not, you know, completing the game with a win. So I have to figure out exactly. There's a couple guys that were down today that I couldn't use. But that's going to happen, and these guys are going to have to, you know, be in roles that, you know, maybe they're not used to. But, you know, we got to figure out. Soriano, I still think is going to be really good. He's had a rough start, but we need him to be good if we're going to get to where we want to be. And same with Nardi. We're going to depend on these guys the next 5 months. So we have to figure out, you know, how to get them back on track.
Soriano, is there anything you're able to pinpoint with why he's had a rough time this last
game? It's ball one, ball two. I mean, he's behind count, so he can't get to the slider. And so I think that, you know, there was a ball that he might have, I couldn't see it on from my angle. I don't know if he threw it behind Yaz or close or whatever it was, the fastball. But I mean, that's when if he's pulling it that hard, you know, there's something obviously mechanically that we haven't figured out yet. And we got to figure that out to get him right.
With the offense, you guys get 3 quick runs in the second inning and not be able to tack on after that. What did you see from your guys at the plate?
Well, Ryan's had a great day. Terrible hair going on, but no, I love him. He can wear it. As long as he gets 3 hits, he can have whatever he wants out there. He's amazing. He's my favorite. I love the guy. But, yeah, he obviously started out awesome today, fantastic. You know, even the last hit against Duvall, who's, you know, obviously extremely tough, one of the better closers in the game. Dela has been on fire. Love seeing him with guys on base. Even his outs were, you know, good outs. The fly ball to deep right, you know, was a really good swing. Avi with a nice hit. But, yeah, I thought Otto took some good at-bats. But, yeah, I think the insurance runs are, you know, what we need to figure out and how to, you know, get those, you know, middle relievers and get a couple added runs when we have the chance to do it. But, you know, we another tough loss. I mean, it's just what it is. And we had a lead late and couldn't hold on, and we got to figure out how to hold on.
Just a giant step forward. Jazz has shown you in center field. Obviously, in spring training, you mentioned it, how different it is than just to see it in the regular season, how amazing he's been out there.
That play in the 7th to lead off the inning was not many guys get to that ball. I mean, he is he's just a center fielder. I don't think of him as like a guy that made a change to center field. It just feels like he's just a center fielder and a really good one. He's also putting together some really good at-bats against some lefties. I mean, a couple more hits today, and you know, he's turning himself to an everyday player, which he's tried to convince me he's an everyday player, even let me face lefties, and you know, we're giving him the shot, and he's doing it. He's doing a good job. Even the couple outs, he just missed a couple balls. But the center field defense has been really good. Taking command and being a leader is, you know, going to be his – I mean, he's going to keep growing into the leadership thing. He's becoming one, and it's fun to watch him grow up.
All right, so that was manager Skip Schumacher. Look, Edward Cabrera maybe made the best start of the 2024 season. 6 innings, 5 hits, 1 run, 10 punch-outs. Let's hear what Cabrera had to say, translated by Louis Durante.
20 of your 23 batters that you faced, you got ahead with the first strike. How were you able to get ahead?
Sí, 20 de tu 23 turnos al bate le comenzaste con strike. ¿Cómo pudiste empezar así? Con cada turno.
Vengo trabajando eso, ¿sabes? Y mi mentalidad era, como siempre, atacar la zona. Gracias a Dios, hoy puedo decir que todo salió bien, ¿me entiendes? A pesar de que me hicieron una carrera, eso son cosas que pasan en el juego, pero gracias a Dios, y lo más importante, que me siento bien, en salud.
Yeah, that's been something that I've been working on a lot, you know, starting the at-bat with a strike. Like I tell you all the time, attacking the zone is one of the things I always try to do. Most important, unfortunately, I got the walk, but most important is that I feel healthy, and I think it was a good performance out there.
You looked really confident out there from the second you took the mound in the first inning. do you feel more confident? Did something change in that aspect?
Sí, te viste que estás con mucha confianza, lleno de confianza. Desde el momento que subiste a la lomita, tomaste la ola, todos vimos esa confianza. Algo has hecho distinto, algo que cambió para tener esa confianza extra.
En realidad, no, mi mentalidad siempre ha sido la misma, ¿sabes? Nosotros como pitcher tenemos siempre que tener la mentalidad de que nos montamos ahí y a atacar la zona, ¿sabes? Los pitchers caballos, eso es lo que hacen, ¿me entiendes? Y nosotros tenemos que seguir ese paso también, ¿sabes? Y la mentalidad es siempre atacar la zona. No es necesario tú cambiar lo que está bien, solamente que los resultados son diferentes.
Yeah, yeah, it's mentality has not changed. It's the same. It's the same as since I came up here. Good pitchers got to think like that with positivity. Got to think always ahead. But I haven't changed anything. And most important part is that you cannot change anything that is working, right? So you got to continue doing whatever is working, and maintain that mentality and that confidence.
When was the last time you felt this good on the mound?
¿Cuándo fue la última vez que te sentiste tan bien así en el montículo?
En Jacksonville.
You worked at a really quick tempo. Did you do that on purpose? Was that an emphasis for you coming into this game?
Sí, el tiempo al lanzar estaba rápido. Eso es algo que estaba haciendo a propósito, algo que estuviste pensando antes de entrar al juego.
No, no, en realidad no lo estaba pensando. Algo que salió.
No, I wasn't thinking about it. It's something that it just came out.
You were originally, I think, supposed to have a rematch start in 2 days. When you got the news instead that you were going to be called up here, just how excited, eager were you? What sort of was the thought?
Sí, se supone que ibas a empezar tu recuperación, ahorita el proceso de recuperación en 2 días. ¿Qué tan emocionada estuviste cuando te dijeron, mira, estás listo, tienes que irte para Miami?
Ah, mucho. En realidad, ¿sabes? Me emocioné mucho. Era algo que estaba esperando, en realidad, ¿me entiendes? Venir aquí, tratar de ayudar al equipo como pueda. Siempre esa es parte de mi mentalidad también, ¿sabes? Ayudarlo y siempre salir a dar lo mejor de mí cuando me monto a la lomita.
A lot. I was very excited. A lot of excitement. Because that's what I wanted, where I want to be. I want to be able to help the team in any way I can. And that's my mentality, just being up here, give all everything I got, and being able to help the team.
Considering just the way the season has started up here, did that make you want to get up here quicker to try to help turn things around?
Considerando el récord que tiene el equipo, te dio muchas más ganas o ansia de estar con el equipo más rápido y poder ayudar.
No te puedo decir más rápido, en realidad. Todo a su tiempo. Soy el tipo de persona de que todo tiene que ser a su tiempo. No podemos apresurar la cosa, porque a veces cuando la apresuramos, casi siempre sale mal, ¿sabes? Pero soy muy creyente de que todo a su tiempo sale mejor la cosa.
Everything at the right time, you know? I'm a big believer of that. Everything has to be at the right time. Sometimes when you rush things, things don't come out the right way. So, yeah. Everything at the right time.
You threw a few sliders for a strikeout today. I don't think that was a main strikeout pitch for you last year. How are you feeling with that pitch, and what was the game plan for that pitch tonight?
Sí, lanzaste varios ponches el día de hoy con tu slider. El año pasado no vimos que tú estabas usando ese lanzamiento. Creo que no lo estabas usando para ponche. ¿Cuál fue tu plan hoy de juego con ese picheo y cómo lo sentiste?
Ya llevo un tiempecito trabajándolo, ¿sabes? Y no hay mejor parte que expresar tu trabajo que cuando estás en la lomita, ¿me entiendes? Y siempre es confiar en todos los picheos, que es lo que en realidad siento confianza con todo, gracias a Dios.
I've been working on that pitch for a while already, but it feels good, you know, once you have success on the real game, on the mound, and having control of all your pitches is actually something very, very exciting for any pitcher.
All right, right back at it. It's going to be a 6:40 first pitch. Ryan Weathers goes opposite Jordan Hicks. It's game two of this three-game set. 6:40 first pitch, 6:10 Marlins on deck. As always, we hope you can join us on the Marlins Radio Network, driven by AutoNation.